look in the mirror and say, "I love you." Seriously, try it. Look into your own eyes and say, "I love you." If you're like most people, you'll find it at least uncomfortable, if not impossible. We're constantly finding things not to love about ourselves. The things that have been quietly eating away at us, our weaknesses and mistakes, our embarrassments and failures, our disappointments and frustrations. I've struggled to love myself all my life, but in 2017, I decided to do something about it. I didn't know how to fully love myself, but I resolved to push the limits of my comfort zone. I would no longer allow self-doubt to dictate my decisions and limit my potential. I would no longer conveniently step sideways when facing a challenge. I would no longer allow feelings of vulnerability to close me off. It all began the day after my wedding, June 12, 2017. In the trough that often comes after big events, I decided to write a book. I was not a writer, nor did I have a clear theme, but there would be a book, of that I was certain. I decided to let my instinct guide me. While on my honeymoon, I awoke each morning at 5 a.m. Under the covers next to my wife, Ronnie, I wrote what turned into hundreds of pages on my iPhone. I relived every meaningful moment in my life, paying special attention to the ones filled with shame, guilt, and pain. The writing turned into its own healing process as I exposed, and ultimately learned to accept, the parts of me that were hiding in the shadows. This all culminated in a book, The Last Letter, Embracing Pain to Create a Meaningful Life. To my surprise, the book was well received. So well received that I felt like I had a dilemma on my hands. If I was to fully embrace the success of the book, then I'd need to overcome my first hurdle, embracing the spotlight. In order to do that, I felt it would need to be ambitious, something that pushed me out of my comfort zone. While showering one day, the idea hit me. I decided to travel across the U.S. for 3 months and ask people one simple question. If you knew someone in your life would die tomorrow, and you had one last chance to express feelings to him or her, what would you say? It was the very question I posed at the end of The Last Letter. Over time, my general idea became more focused and concrete, and I outlined a basic structure for my trip. I planned to travel from the West Coast to the East with the goal of hosting 60 last letter sessions. In each session, I would share my own story of pain described in my book, and then invite participants to write their own last letter to the person of their choosing. These could be letters of love, gratitude, forgiveness, any emotion people felt compelled to express that would give them greater healing, peace, and freedom. I mapped my route based on people whom I knew throughout the U.S. I asked friends and connections if they would host these last letter sessions. As people agreed, my route unfolded. I then located bookstores along my route and cold-called them to see if they would host sessions as well. To my surprise, many of them readily agreed. My trip was set. This book is the story of that journey. Throughout the journey, I hope you'll find themes that resonate with your life. Challenging experiences you've had trouble putting behind you. Old patterns you wish you could eliminate but that still control your life. Experiences of shame and guilt. Moments when you found it hard to accept and love yourself. And last but not least, the internal voice that says you're not good enough, that beats you up for all your past mistakes. Although I've enjoyed relative success, the disapproving voice of my father has always haunted me. "Andy, you'll never amount to anything." It has prevented me from fully accepting and loving myself. It has often made me pull back and bunt instead of letting go and swinging for the fences. We all have our own voices. The voices of critical parents, teachers, friends, the emotional baggage from the past that weighs on us, the shame and guilt we try to stifle, the accumulation of all our life struggles. I spent most of my life trying to manage all these psychological and emotional burdens in myself. It took me decades to realize I'd been getting it wrong all along. Instead of moving away from it, I should have been running directly into it, like a beautiful waterfall that may sting for an instant, but then massages. In my classes for clients, I'm often asked, "How do I get rid of these voices, these thoughts, these emotions?" My answer is almost always the same. What if you didn't need to get rid of them, but instead loved them? How do you love that thought so much that it's no longer unconsciously wreaking havoc in your life? What if it didn't need to be resolved, but instead completely embraced?